Welcome to the Trust Your Gut podcast with Erica Smith and Nicole Carter. In this show, we'll be sharing with you everything we've learned about gut health and everything that you can do to make it better. We'll be sharing our stories from personal experiences, client success stories, as well as the new and relevant science to gut health. We hope you enjoy the show. Hey guys, welcome back to the Trust Your Gut podcast. Me and Erica have some ranting to do today.
Yes. Woo, welcome back, everybody.
Yeah, we want to talk about this healthcare problem that we have in America, and really that our healthcare system is really a sick care system, and it's really designed to address the sickness and symptoms of people, but never really gets to the root cause, never really heals people, and essentially just keeps throwing more drugs at people. And this is a real problem for us. And I think probably I'll let Erica speak for herself, but I know this is what brought me into the field of health coaching, is that I could see that problem. I experienced it firsthand. In my personal experience, I had ulcerative colitis, was diagnosed with that in 2012. And literally my physician, gastroenterologist, whose job it is to study and, you know the digestive system, said that my diet did not matter. And I still to this day am like infuriated by that. So there's a serious problem. And I'm sure many of you listening probably have had some kind of experience like that. So that's what we want to talk about today. And I bet you, Erica, do you have any stories like that to share?
Yeah, I mean, I think that most of my clients are never talked about anything other than their medication. And they are never explained the why. And they are shocked when they come and work with me and they're like, oh, that's why I should be doing that. Or that's why I have this coming out of taking the medication. And it's like, that's interesting. The doctor never actually talked to me about that. And, you know, I don't want to bash necessarily on doctors. I do want to bash a little bit or rant a little bit on the actual system and how that permeates not just your doctor's office visit, but it also permeates policies that go from our government into, you know, that system that, again, just kind of cycles, right? So nobody is changing the protocol, and that protocol is coming from the system. So it's like a systemic issue. And so when I was thinking about this podcast, I kind of tried to find the best cheeky way to compare it to the standard American diet, right? And the only thing I could come up with was standard American disease treatment. So maybe that'll catch on, maybe it won't, but I'm trying. Right. So when we think about the SAD diet, and we think about how we are treating, it's almost like the treatment solidifies the consequences of that SAD or of the standard American diet. I think that our healthcare system is a mirror image of our health. And since when we talk about the healthcare system being broken, it is because our health is broken. Our food system is broken. Our products are filled with toxins that continue and perpetuate all of this. So I really wanted to dig in and, you know, find some comparisons in what we're going through right now and how our system is working.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting to point out that we have the most drugs available as anywhere in the world. We have the most technology of anywhere in the world. And yet we have the sickest nation in the world with chronic disease. And if our system was working, that wouldn't be the case, you know? The other thing that I think is really important to note is that obviously this is a podcast about gut health, but gut health permeates to all health, right? We know that Hippocrates first said it, all disease begins in the gut, the father of medicine. And yet we've come so far from that, that people don't even recognize anymore. You go to your physician, who, by the way, I agree with you, Erica, they mean well, they just weren't given the right tools. They don't go through all that rigmarole of medical school to not help people. I think they really do genuinely want to help people. But it's like you said, it's the system in which they're trained that's broken. Because if you go to your physician for, let's say, anxiety, and they just give you an anxiety SSRI type of medication, without even addressing your gut. By the way, your gut holds all the neurons that affect right. your brain. And don't forget about the gut brain axis. Like, why are they ignoring that? Mm-hmm. Why is the simple remedy have some Prozac or, you know, whatever the anti-anxiety medication du jour is. Why do we have that as part of our system? And that's what upsets me a lot, because like you say, we were chatting, and believe me, Erica and I were ranting before we hit the record button. So this probably could have been a lot longer, but you know, that people are given drugs, but they might help with that symptom, but they're not yeah. curing the problem. In fact, they might give you more other symptoms to go along with it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think, or I believe that the, you know, what we call diseases, the chronic diseases, like diabetes, cardiovascular problems like high blood pressure, hypertension, cholesterol issues that actually give you plaque, because we all know that we can have high cholesterol numbers and still be all right. Asthma, ulcerative colitis, depression, IBS, arthritis, RA, all of those things are actual systems. But the standard model of medicine does not look at the cause of those, because they call them diseases. So when the doctor treats your chronic illness, what they're doing is treating a symptom of the disease. And, you know, I address gut health because I believe it all starts there. But what is the cause of that gut disease is that metabolic imbalance within the system. And so all of the root causes of all of these symptoms, I believe, are due to a metabolic imbalance. And in order to address that metabolic imbalance, the 100% in my, the place to start is always gut health in my mind, because that is how you know, we're receiving all of our nutrients. That is where all 70% of our immunity lies. And that is where, like you said, our depression molecules are, that all of that is there. So that is why I specify and focus on gut health. But the doctors are just treating the symptoms, and people don't realize that. They think they're getting their disease treated. That is not the case. That is a symptom. When you get a headache because your kids are screaming, your disease is not the headache. The disease is your child screaming. We eliminate the child from screaming and your headache disappears.
Great example. I love that. Well, you know, the other, you bring up a good point, and along with gut health, and I think they're very closely connected, is the stress component, where, you know, if you were to go in to see your doctor about that anxiety and they said, well, are you addressing stress? That might make some sense, but I don't think that that happens. And I actually did go see a physician one time for anxiety, and they did not ask me. They straight up went straight to a prescription without addressing, you know, what are you eating? Are you sleeping? Are you having too much stress in your life? It was not even a topic of conversation. And so I think the stress perpetuates inflammation in the body, blood sugar dysregulation, high stress hormones. So that coupled with the terrible food that we have here, I mean, even for the best of eaters that are very aware like us, I think we're really right on top of it. And a lot of our listeners probably are too, but I think that even in a perfect world, when you're eating the best food possible, our nutrients of the soil are depleted. There's transit time to get that organic 100%. Food. You know what I mean? Even in the best cases, our food supply is just not good. And people, you know, laugh at this. I put an image up on my Instagram a couple of weeks ago, and it was, doctor says eat more vegetables, and it's the people out spraying the chemicals all over the crops going, the vegetables, you know, it's, and that's the reality, is like, you know, our food supply is making or breaking our health. So right. If we make the best choices we can, we still have to weed through all of those, you know, other problems with toxins in our environment, and not just in our food, but in our water supply. You know, we have a majorly uphill battle. So we think that, you know, this is one of the reasons why the food is so important. And I'm going to come back to this about nutrition with some information. I'm going to turn it over to you for a second, but I wanted to come back in a minute and talk about the nutrition lack of education that our physicians are getting.
Yeah.
Or not getting.
So I'm going to go on, you know, on a controversial line here, you know, something that might spark some conversation within our listeners. And that's great. You know, I hope it does. I hope it brings out questions and concerns, right? Because that is why we do this podcast, for people to start using their minds and start practicing this stuff in their lives and determining, you know, are we saying things that are applicable in their lifestyle or not? Are they noticing differences with their life? So I want to talk about, out of all these metabolic imbalances that we talked, symptoms that we talked about, the easiest one to relate to metabolism, I think, is probably diabetes, right? Because people think diabetes, it's what we eat, it's your metabolism. Right. If you have slow metabolism, you get diabetes. You have a fast metabolism, you're skinny, so you don't have diabetes. That sort of thought that brains is common within people. So I'm going to throw out a few statistics, and I'm going to say them slow, because when I hear podcasts, I love to hear statistics, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, did you hear that number, right? So I'm going to try and go slow, but always rewind if you want. In 2019, the number of diabetics worldwide rose to 463 million. That is 6% of the world population. That's 2019.
Wow.
In the US alone, the number of people with diabetes now in 2020 was 34.2 million or 10.5% of the population.
Wow.
That's huge. Yeah. That's huge. So this number will continue to increase, because the statistic in 2018 for people that had pre-diabetes was estimated 88 million adults. That's 89% or with 89% of them being overweight or being obese. So the people that you look at that are look fat or obese,
yeah,
89% of those were already showing that they were pre-diabetics. Okay.
Yep.
Now, this is confusing, because weight can be a great marker for this, but weight gain is only a symptom.
Mm-hmm.
Again, these are all symptoms, which means that you can have metabolic imbalance at a healthy weight, or you can be overweight and not have metabolic imbalance. The numbers say that 20% of the obese people are metabolically healthy. So of the people that we see that show being, you know, fat, 20% of those actually do not show metabolic imbalance.
Hmm.
And 40% of the population that falls under normal weight is actually metabolically ill.
Wow. So you can be skinny fat.
You can be skinny fat. And I did not realize that you could be fat and healthy. Now, obviously, when you're fat, you're still putting more tension on your joints and all those things. So being overweight, I never recommend, but you may show metabolically healthy,
right,
at an overweight weight, which again, just kind of proves the point that that weight gain is just a symptom.
Yeah.
Just a symptom, but the issue still lies in there. So mm-hmm. the standard treatment for the diabetes is the use of a drug like, say, metformin, which mm-hmm. will reduce the absorption of sugar through the intestines or will reduce the amount of sugar that the liver produces. While the patients on metformin will in fact reduce the amount of sugar in their bloodstream, it still does not address the reason why there is a normal, abnormal amounts of glucose in your bloodstream, right? So we're still not addressing that. While the care will prevent you from showing up like you have diabetes, why you ended up with diabetes is still present.
Right.
So you either have to continue to increase your drug usage in order to maintain that, or then you're looking at side effects at that
right.
point.
Yeah. So this is basically saying that you can take a drug, may or may not help you, but the reason you're having glucose problems or are diabetic is either the food choices that you're having, or it's stress, because stress can induce the high glucose levels too. So neither of those things can be fixed with a pill. And this brings me to another thought there that we don't have to go too much into, but you guys can figure this out for yourselves. Why do you suppose that the medical industry, and I'm not going to blame the physicians here because this is just their training, but why right. do you suppose that the medical industry gives a medication when the solution is in a health behavior? It's money. There is no money yeah. to be made by telling you, and Eric and I will attest to this, there's no money to be made by telling you to change the way you're eating or to reduce your stress, right?
Yeah.
There's no product in there that's going to fix that. And in the case of the medical world, this, I believe, is why for every ailment, there's a drug, because that's money-making. The drug companies, big pharma, it's real. And they are making billions of dollars on every drug that's out there. And I'll tell you that in my lifetime, since I was about 18 years old, I've rejected drugs. And in, I'd say most cases, unless it was a dire situation, I've avoided drugs, and I've here I am and I'm fine, right? So it's like, you don't have a deficiency for a drug or medication in right. your, that's not your health problem. Your health problem comes from something in your behavior, whether it's a stress or the probably more likely the food choices that are damaging your body, not because you're missing a drug.
Yeah. You're definitely not missing metformin when you are diabetic.
That's
just a fact.
Yeah, and there are some cases that people need, like type 1 diabetics, you know, aren't making sure. insulin. So there are cases that drugs are life-saving, and there are those. But I'd say on the whole, chronic disease is more about lifestyle choices. And I think it's, you know, a pretty big number. Chronic diseases are attributed to 80% of healthcare costs. 80%.
Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
Of those, I believe it's in the 40% category is due to behaviors. I think it's a higher number than that. Some would say that, you know, 40% goes to your medical care, 40% goes into your health behaviors, and maybe another 20 goes into genetics. But I think the number is a lot bigger than that in terms of your, you know, what you do on your side, meaning it is within your control, a lot of it, if you're dealing with a chronic illness.
Yeah, I think that nature versus nurture is still on the debate. And I definitely agree that there's a lot more that we can do. And, you know, I think that the medical model, when, you know, when people like Nicole and I say it's all about the money, I really truly mean that. However, I will say that again, it's a systemic medical issue. You know, they are taught that you, me, anyone who's listening to this is not capable, not willing, not smart enough, not wanting to change. So they want to save your life as a doctor. Yeah. They want to give you the medication for you to live longer, right? Without the issues. So again, yes, it's about the money, but the money to me comes even further above, right? Like you mentioned big pharma, and like you mentioned, or like I mentioned, the governmental policies and all of that. That spreads into the actual system, and it is taught within our medical community and within our society that it is because most people don't want to change, don't care to change, are not smart enough to change and make their own decisions. I don't know how many people I've had when I am having conversations with them, maybe in social media, say, you know, pointing out lack of credentials or something like that. God, listen, people, you do not need a credential to read a paper and make sense out of it.
No,
it just, and you really do not need. You do not need the letters after your name in order for you to use common sense and not even just read a paper, live your life.
Yeah.
I do not take any medications. I do not require any of that. I will tell you that the model that I live by works. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to have any credential for me to tell you that. I practice it not only in my life, I practice it with my clients. Yeah. I've gotten them off medications. So, you know, that is not absolute, but that standard of care and that standard of viewing us as not smart enough comes from way, 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 way up above in the top.
Yep. The lack of trust and the authoritarianism that people are trained in believing in the white coat, the authoritarian figure of the white coat, people will believe whatever a doctor says, even though they have very little training, you know. On that note, I have done quite a bit of research on this because it upset me to no end that a gastroenterologist would tell you that the diet doesn't matter at all in a gastrointestinal disease. And so when I looked into this, I found some pretty compelling information, and I knew it was bad, but I didn't realize it was this bad. So currently medical students are getting less than 20 hours of nutrition education over a 4-year period. And if you think about how much nutrition affects your health, you know, this makes good sense. In one, this makes sense why our model is so broken. So in one report that was summarizing findings from 24 different studies across several different countries, including the United States, Europe, Middle East, Africa, Australia, and New Zealand, the studies examined all of the different experience medical students were getting, including their attitudes and knowledge about nutritional interventions. And all of them basically said that their perception was that they had very low education. This is themselves, this is the medical students speaking, that their knowledge and perception of quality and quantity of nutrition education was uniformly low. So they know they're not getting enough, but to the extent of 20 hours in a 4-year period, especially when we're talking about even just general medicine, but, you know, general medicine as in you go see your general practitioner, but specialty care as well. If we're talking about cancer or, you know, GI, which I know well, and I've had that experience with, but that's, you know, a very sad example of what is wrong with our medical system. Also, 51% of medical school graduates, and this is 2005, reported that they received insufficient nutrition education during medical school. And wow. According to The Lancet, a 2019 global burden of disease study of 195 countries said that the dietary factor are the single leading cause of death, exacting an even greater health burden than smoking.
100%, over and over.
Why are we not addressing this? Why are we not training people? Why is our medical system ignoring nutrition?
Yeah, I think this question is being asked more now with the situation that we have. And I think it's a question that everybody should be asking. I believe in medical freedom, and you should make whatever choice you think is necessary to keep yourself healthy. I am doing my part. I am talking to people. I am showing other alternatives that do work, like I said. And I am not bashing the doctors. I think doctors go to school. I think they are very smart. They know a lot about us systems. The systems, the medical system separates all of those systems. Yeah. And it's like, they cannot communicate. Like, you have the gastroenterologist and you have the heart doctor here. And it's like, they never actually communicate. And I don't know if anybody that's listening here realizes, but your brain is not disconnected from your heart, and your heart is not disconnected from your stomach. That is not how you work. So putting all of those things that you're having issues with together is hard as a person. And if the medical field is separating them and not even letting them communicate, you know, you have to push for that. I have family members who have multiple issues, and they, you know, they have to, I always am telling them, you have to get this doctor to talk to this doctor, because it works together, right? And I think if we look at the body per se, it stands to make sense, even just visually, right? Like we say, eat walnuts, they look like brains, they help your brain. Eat beets, they look like a heart and they're red, they help your cardiovascular. You know what? If you look at your body, what stands in the very middle? Your gut.
Yeah.
Right? It is at the center of everything. So when it makes sense to me, even in that visual model, that we start there. And from there, everything else will kind of work itself out. Yeah. So I'm going to push this a little bit with us here today, and try and make a parallel with what people, because people are seeing a lot about what's going on with the virus that's out there. Mm-hmm. And I think people should care about why and how the medical model works. First and foremost, because who wants to take a medication when there could be an actual solution, right? All right. Medications have side effects. So why would you want to put yourself there? Mm-hmm. But even more, we should care, my belief, because the policies that are made are made upon the assumption that society, people in society, are too stupid to make their own decisions.
Right.
That mm-hmm. I don't have the degree, I don't have the credentials, and therefore I lack the knowledge and ability to learn what the right thing to do with my body is.
Right.
So, and beyond that, like we said, we don't fix the diabetes, we treat the symptom of diabetes. So mm-hmm. we can parallel that with the virus that's going on out here, where the government and the medical, medical community model is providing us with one solution, and that is to get a jab. Mm-hmm. And that jab will address one particular protein in the surface of this virus. And for everyone out there that does not know this, it has been mapped, and the virus has 29 proteins around them. So when you get a jab, you get a response to one of those things. Okay. So now you have the virus as your symptom, and you have the protein, or the virus as the disease, and your protein as your symptom. What happens is that that symptom will change, just like now you don't have the symptom of your high blood glucose, but now you're getting acid reflux because of the metformin you're taking, right? So now we start seeing all of the other proteins on the virus because mm-hmm. this one protein changed, and now we have to take a booster jab.
Right.
Okay, well, now you have acid reflux, and now you have to take another medication. So this method of treating our diseases translates to all of the other policies that we see. And until we wake up and ask for our community to heal us, not just treat our symptoms, that will extend way beyond the doctor's office.
Yeah. This is the medical model, you guys, and it's never going to change. You just have to either opt out of it and decide you're going to go down your own path of taking care of yourself. And obviously it can be done. Erica and I and millions of others have done it. Yeah. And you can do this yourself. As Erica said, you know, we don't need a degree and someone with a white coat to tell us how to take care of ourselves. We can learn and we can take action. And I'll tell you, I have a master's degree in public health. It does not make me a better coach. I don't even use the skills that I learned in graduate school to do the work I do to help people get healthier. That work is done through my own personal experience and my own personal study, not through any kind of organization or degree or anything. It's the same thing that any other person can do. So I want to just encourage people to look at your situation. If what is currently being addressed and handled medically is not working for you, mm-hmm. it's time to consider another option and looking at it differently. And instead of trying to attack the symptoms with drugs, maybe it's time to start addressing the illness itself and what's causing it. So that is what Erica and I are trying to impress upon everybody with our work in health coaching, and specifically around gut health and in this podcast. So I think that kind of sums it up. Erica, do you have any lasting comments you want to leave people with, other than that great message about the example of where we are currently?
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, I just want to encourage people to have the conversations. And a lot of times they're not easy. They are, I think that they can cause some strife. But overall, we have to have these conversations. We do not come to the conclusion of, you know, fixing health through your gut if somebody might have not had that question at some point. Why are we taking so many drugs? You know, and you might, that person might have been called cuckoo or whatever, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay to question science. I'm a biologist. I live and die for testing things. I mean, it is like I on a daily want to prove if something works, and it's okay if it doesn't. I don't understand how, like, science is never necessarily 100%, right? There are everybody has different bodies and different situations. Everybody's going to respond to something different. So you can't say that one thing will work 100% of the time. So that is my premise. And I think that asking and questioning science and testing science is what should always happen. So I always encourage people to have those conversations and to eat well and heal their gut.
Here's to that. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Obviously, you can see we both are very passionate about natural health and taking your health into your own hands, just like we both have. So we hope we've inspired you today. Make sure you check out both Instagrams for Erica and I, and they are listed in the show notes, Healthy with Nicole and Keeping It Real Health Coaching. Is that right?
Keeping It Real Coaching. And go to our website.
Yeah, and the websites are listed as well in the show notes. And send us an email. We would love to hear feedback, what you would like to hear on upcoming podcasts as we start to pick up speed here. I think this is our 10th podcast. So we're growing. We're growing and we're not stopping.
Yeah. And we've got more interviewees to come. So we're super excited about all of those.
Yep. So thanks for tuning in. Please share this podcast with others. And we'll see you again real soon.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.